Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that was shitty. Welcome, everybody, to the Wet Islands. The Los Angeles Kings fall tonight to the Philadelphia Flyers 4-2 in their home opener. Kind of typical Kings, though, when they have these big ceremonies. They seem to let us down a little bit in these types of games. Look, it's game two of 82. So there's 80 games left. So again, like as I said before, I don't want to overhype anything, overblow anything. But it is a little bit disappointing to come out in your home ice, celebrating your 50-year anniversary and shit the bed in that second period. Bro, you know, it's kind of a crazy thing to say because watching this game, the Kings, I think for all intents and purposes, they won the first and third period. I think they played better than Philadelphia in two out of the three periods. But that second period was like, it was such a, was just a shit sandwich that the game got away from him and there was no coming back from it. So, winning two out of three periods, but that second period was just a freaking disaster, bro. It's kind of the ceremonies are pretty cool, though. You know, like, I'm a little bit spoiled. I go to a lot of games, you know, like, and I'm a hardcore hockey fan. I'm a hardcore Kings fan. So when I go to these games, I kind of take these pregame shows for granted a little bit. I'm just kind of waiting for puck drop. But, bro, if you're a casual fan, the Kings do a really, really good job with these, like, these laser shows and these hype videos to get you ready for the game. A really, really cool-looking thing. You know, what is funny is, you know, they had that little thing where they went through all of the different areas, eras of the Kings. You know, they had the vintage era, then they had the Chevy logo era, then all these different eras for the Kings. And so they're showing guys like Marcel Dion, Mark Hardy, Tyler Simmer, Jim Fox, you know, so on and so forth, Luke Robitaille, Ziggy Palfy, all these Kings, you know, Wayne Gretzky, obviously, all these Kings legends. And then, no disrespect, man, because I look, but they throw up Derek Armstrong. It just kind of made me laugh. You know, listen, no disrespect to Derek Armstrong, you know, but I think maybe, how depleted were we on talent that Derek Armstrong actually cracked that video? I just thought that was kind of funny. But you know, again, as I said, no disrespect to Army, but I kind of pop for that. So they bring out the old timers for the ceremony, and then they announce the Kings 23-man roster. Look, it doesn't matter obviously, but I just thought it was kind of awkward. I don't know if it was this way for anybody else. But, like, announcing the guys, they skate out to, like, the blue line, and they stand 2 feet away from the old-timers, and they just kind of stare at each other. I don't know how much rapport they have. It just kind of felt a little bit awkward to me. One thing I have in my notes here is when they announced Kyle Clifford, like, I'll never get used to Kyle Clifford in a half shield. It just doesn't look right. Like, Kyle Clifford in a half shield just totally, like, is that even, it doesn't even look like him. Like, he looks so much, Kyle Clifford doesn't wear half shields. Obviously, I know it's for his own good and his own protection, but I'll never get used to that. Let's get to the line combinations for tonight's game. Dwight King, Anze Kopitar, Tyler Toffoli, Dustin Brown, Nick Shore, Devin Setoguchi. Teddy Purcell, Jeff Carter, Trevor Lewis, and Kyle Clifford, Andy Andrioff, and Jordan Nolan. On the back, we have Drew Doughty, Jake Muzzin, Alec Martinez, Brady McNabb, Matt Green, and Derek Forbert. But listen, Nick Dowd's in a suit. Bro, why can't you just, like, not that this would have turned the game around or anything, but bro, like, why can't you just alternate Nick Dowd and Nick Shore and have an actual competition with those two kids to see who should belong on the roster night in and night out? Like, I'm not really sure what Nick Shore has done to be a lock in the lineup every single night. What has Nick Dowd done to prove that he doesn't belong there? I mean, he needs a shot to prove something, doesn't he? Why can't you just alternate these two guys? Especially when you look. So we got Kyle Clifford, Andy Andrioff, and Jordan Nolan. What exactly? Look, I know I put Kyle Clifford and Andy Andrioff over in the preview show because I like their heart and I like their guts. But what is that line going to do? We have Michael Mersch, Adrian Kempe, Nick Dowd, just in a suit and just not with the, like, could that line, those are three skilled, more skilled hockey players that we could probably use, especially considering that Marian Gaborik and Tanner Pearson are out. We're probably going to need all the skill we can get because our top six, it's depleted. We don't have our full arsenal. So how about we implement some skill guys, Nick Dowd, Michael Mersch, Adrian Kempe, and see what they can bring to the table instead of really a throwaway Kyle Clifford, Andy Andreoff, Jordan Nolan line. I said in the last show when we fell to the Sharks that I didn't like Matt Green and Derek Forbert together because I don't like Matt Green coming off a significant injury, almost career-ending injury, playing with the kid. I just don't understand that D pairing. I don't think that's setting either one of them up to succeed. I think you could disperse that defenseman talent out amongst those six guys. You don't have to put Green and Forbert together. And then, of course, they go out there and they were not good together. They were not good together tonight. They got exposed in that second period. It was very obvious. But you know, he didn't switch anything up. That Daryl Sutter, he didn't want to switch the D pairings. Yes, Drew Doughty and Jake Muzzin go out there, and then we have puck possession. But maybe you put Drew Doughty with Derek Forbert. You know, Drew Doughty, again, as I said before, like, it might be a compliment to Drew Doughty that Jake Muzzin made the Team Canada team. So, you know, I think Derek Forbert could use that time with Drew Doughty. Jake Muzzin's a stud. He doesn't need to be coddled with Drew Doughty right now, especially with a kid like Forbert out there. I don't know, man. But we definitely miss Marian Gaborik and Tanner Pearson. I mean, look, things are going to get better when those guys come back. Like the top six is just, there's just not a whole lot of talent right there. I mean, obviously, game two, Teddy Purcell and Devin Setoguchi might turn out to be solid offensive players. That's I don't know. But when Marian Gaborik and Tanner Pearson come back, things are going to get better. Right off the bat, this first period, the Kings outshoot Philly 10-4 the first period. Played well. They looked good. Dwight King has a really good chance from Kobe. Kobe gives him right to the front. Dwight kind of just stuffs it in. Not really a whole lot he could do there. There's a dangerous, dangerous play in that first period that could have been really bad. Could have been really, really freaking bad, bro. Kyle Clifford's skate came up in Shane Gostisbehere's face. And it actually did cut him, but could you imagine if that got Gostisbehere in the eye? Bro, that could have been a serious, serious... Who was that guy? That could have been a Brian Berard-type injury right there. So thank God Shane Gostisbehere is okay, because that was actually really, really freaking dangerous. Another chance, Clifford and Nolan had 2-on-1. You almost kind of expect that not to go well, but it was a chance. I think Nolan made it. Look, in the first period, he was all right. I think he showed great speed there, showed great body position, forced his man off the puck, and led to the 2-on-1. Didn't make a great pass to Kyle Clifford, and that chance kind of went by the wayside. But it was a chance nonetheless. Toffoli's got a chance from Toffoli takes a shot. Kopi has a chance at an open net, but the puck was bouncing. He just takes a swipe at it. Couldn't connect with it. The Kings were pretty – they were coming here. It was 7-0 in shots 11 minutes into the game. The Kings were really – they were bringing it to Philly. Andreoff goes off 2 minutes for boarding. That looked bad. I thought that it could have been 5. Like that, there was no turn, no nothing. That was just that was straight boarding. Luckily, thank God the guy he boarded was okay. I thought that could have been 5. Well, when I was watching it live, maybe that might have been an overreaction. Maybe a knee jerk reaction. But I thought that was a bad play from Andreoff. So we kill him the penalty. I don't know if you guys saw this in the game. Jake Muzzin enters the Philly zone shorthanded. Does well. Looks like he's doing well. Looks like he could just leave it in the corner and get back to killing his penalty. Makes a backhand pass all the way to his far blue to a Philadelphia Flyer. Turns it over. The Flyers are in 3-on-2. Jeff Zatkoff makes a huge save. I texted my cousin right when I saw that. Look, Jeff Zatkoff slides over. Look, he wasn't the best tonight. I think he made a couple big saves. But in this particular play, Jeff Zatkoff slides over, chest up, and was able to make the save. I can't help but think if the other guy was in, he's sliding on his stomach, and it's 1-0 Philly right there. But, you know, we'll never know that. But that was a big save from Zatkov. And now he makes another huge save on Strait, a big glove save. So Philly could be up 1-2 already, but Zatkov made some pretty big saves there. Purcell and Carter had some chances late. I thought maybe they were going to have some chemistry, but that didn't come to fruition. But all in all, I thought the Kings won the first period. I thought they were better than Philly. I thought we were going to come out. I thought we were going to win the game. I thought it looked good. Limiting the Philadelphia Flyers to 4 shots. It looked like the same old prototypical Kings structure. And it looked like we were going to go and take the game. But at 3:55 in the first period, Boyd Gordon makes it 1-0 Philadelphia.
By to look forward is Nolan. Nolan trying to dig it out. Flyers get to it, though. And on the right side, picked up by Brandon Manning, now up to center ice. Manning across the line, left side, up the middle, a shot. Right in the slot. The Flyers get the goal as Cousins was in the middle. And it's 1-0 Philadelphia Flyers.
So Daryl Sutter was talking about mistake-free hockey. That's not going to be the case, but here's one where it's right down the middle. Boyd Gordon gets the goal. Now, he was brought to the Flyers as kind of a defensive specialist. We'll see the breakout as you move up the ice. Kings in good position here, but then all of a sudden, that one pass beats two Kings, and it's a 4-on-3. That's modern-day hockey. The attack, it's not only 3-on-2, you make that extra attack. Look at the second wave. Very important for the Flyers to drive through there. You see Former? He wants to come out, but Weiss won't let him. He gets in position, the pick is set, the time is there, top gloves. 1-0 Flyers.
So 1-0 Flyers after the goal from Boyd Gordon. Derek Forbert and Matt Green are out there for that first one, so they're a -1. You know, I had in the first period of my notes, I had it looked like Green and Forbert, they were looking good. Well, I crossed that out about 10 minutes into the second period. That Green and Forbert pair had a disastrous second period. Look, you know, as much as I say that, if you go back and watch that goal, there was a solid net drive from Philly. That's what they're supposed to do. The high guy, Jordan Nolan, was the first forward back. And he just completely fails to pick up Boyd Gordon. And he's the guy in the slot all alone. He makes it 1-0. I think that goal goes on Jordan Nolan. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you go back and watch that. But Jordan Nolan needs to pick up his man. Like that's – you can't – you're going to – like, you get – Jordan – like, they're playing Kyle Clifford – Andy Andreoff, Jordan Nolan, when you guys go out there, you're not going to get a whole lot of freaking ice time. You have one job. You have one freaking job, and that's to not get scored on. So, figure it out. Come on, man. I like Jordan Nolan, but that's inexcusable, and he had a terrible second and third. A lot of the guys did, but come on, bro. You got to figure that one out. I put my head down. It's 2-0. Sean Couturier makes it 2-0. 48 seconds later.
Body of Purcell back down into the Flyers zone. Shane Gostisbehere back to get it. We're in the second period. The Flyers have a 1-0 lead. A 2-0 lead as it deflects in. And it's 2-0 in favor of the Flyers. Sean Couturier was there. So two quick goals have given the Flyers a 2-0 lead.
Completely different story. First period, the Kings controlled. Second period, the Flyers are taking over. And now, like I mentioned in the first, they weren't entering. Now look at the entry. So the rebound becomes the issue. And then patience. The reach of Couturier. The first shot is not necessarily that dangerous. But even the first man through was Wayne Simmons. And he provided a little distraction for the goaltender. You always wonder why there's a rebound. Sometimes there's a deflection, sometimes there's a screen. That time there was just a player skating through. I think Zatkov thought there was going to be a deflection. Was not the case. Big rebound. Flyers now lead by 2. The first goal by Gordon.
So that was a tough rebound. If you're keeping score at home, that's Boyd Gordon at 3:55 and Sean Couturier at 4:43 of the second period. It was a tough rebound for Jeff Zatkov. You would want that. Like, you need to control that rebound. Well, I'll say this, though. That was kind of an awkward centering feed. I think that was an awkward play for Zatkov. And, again, look, it's not solely on him. Yes, you need to control that rebound. And, actually, he had problems with his rebound control practically all night long. But Dwight King's late to pick up Sean Couturier. And he makes a nice move and tucks it in and makes it 2-0. Bro, do I listen, bro, look, I'm not gonna I don't wanna just sit here and bury 74. Look, he had a nice play. He was probably partially responsible for Drew Doughty's goal of the screen in front. Bro, what, like, so Dwight's a cowboy, right? He likes cowboy stuff. Bro, he's late everywhere. Everywhere. Bro, he would be he'd be 20 minutes late to a country music festival. He's just late to every single freaking spot. And he got I'll get to this later, 16 minutes and 21 seconds of ice time tonight. That was the third most for Kings forwards. Kopi, Toff, Dwight King had more minutes than Jeff Carter, bro. Teddy Purcell, Devin Setoguchi. No, Dwight King had third most. Unreal. Look, it's not Dwight King's fault. Anyone out there listening, like, I'm not piling up on one guy, but he's just so late every freaking where, bro. Doesn't get better. It gets worse. Sean Couturier at 12:04, pretty much, it's the game when he goal puts it out of reach.
Body of Purcell back down.
Lewis turns. Kings keep it alive. Back to Lewis and off his skate and cleared out to center ice. Voracek went for it. Now Couturier chasing it in for the Flyers. Forward sends it around the boards. Kings don't clear. Voracek pass up the middle. Shot. Score by Couturier. His second, and some beautiful passing by the Flyers. And they lead 3-0. Couturier's known for defense, but he said he wants more production. He wants more points. He wants to be a better, well-rounded player. Well, he's got two so far. It looks like everything's okay until that turnover right there. The Kings get caught in between. And then there's a sense tonight where the Kings are running around a little bit, which is unusual. That probably is the thing you think about the most when a team has a goaltender come in that's not their number one guy.
It's a forward turnover. I mean, that goal is probably on Derek Forbert. That was a rough period for him. Unfortunate. Because, I mean, it really is unfortunate. Because if you look at the history of the way these things kind of work, a young kid like Derek Forbert stepping up like that, bro, you know Tom Gilbert's in next game. And it might be a while until Derek Forbert sees the ice again in the National Hockey League. Because that's just how the Kings work. They're not going to let the kid. I mean, I could be wrong here, but just judging from the history of the Kings, I could be totally wrong, but they're not going to let the kid go out there and learn from his mistakes. They're going to sit him. They're going to bench him. They're going to put him in a suit. They're going to put him in a press box. They're going to send him to Ontario. I mean, that's what I foresee the future of Derek Forbert, unless they prove me wrong. Look, I mean, I don't have any reason to believe otherwise. If it were me, I'd send him right back out there the next game, but I don't think that's going to happen. Tom Gilbert will probably be in for Derek Forbert, and he'll probably play with Matt Green, and I don't think that's going to be much better. We'll see, though. Mark Streit makes it 4-0. Not a whole lot going on here. Just pretty much just a lucky bounce.
About that line you were on. Yeah, for Brian Tilray in Ottawa with the Ottawa 67s in the Ontario Hockey League.
Centerman, John Simpson. He has 65 goals. There's one again by the Flyers.
Right off the boards. And
we're just talking about scoring.
Mark Streit puts it in. 4-0.
Yep. 5-man attack. The Flyers have not, that give them credit for that. I mean, the Kings have concerns with coverage, but the Flyers have been backing off and on top and all over the Kings. And you'll see here on a missed opportunity, look at Streit. He's a defenseman. He bounces it, I believe, off the side of Zatkoff. We'll see it go right off the side of the helmet. So it's a fortunate bounce, but Streit being in the area he's in, 32, shows you the aggressiveness of the Flyers. They already at that point had a 3-0 lead, not backing off at all. And Bob, this is a little bit too a part of the Flyers controlling. I mentioned the territory and the face-offs and all those things. They're just spending so much time in the kick zone.
Again, like I said, not a whole lot going on. It's just pretty much a lucky bounce. But Mark Streit does make it 4-0. Just goes in off Zatkoff's head. That's just kind of the way things were going in that period. It's unfortunate. We actually do we kind of X that goal out in the beginning of the third period, but
Yeah.
It just, no way back. Really no way back from that one. Drew Doughty gets one right back, which there was a glimmer of hope when Drew Doughty scored, and even though McDavid scores at the start of the third period, but Drew Doughty does get one back here.
Home scoring shift.
Yeah.
On my own line.
Faceoff in the Flyer zone. This period has been a disaster, to say the least, for the Kings. To the blue line, a shot score from back of the blue line. Winding up there was Drew Doughty. And the Kings are out on the board, but they trail 4-1.
Great shot. Drew Doughty wasn't bad tonight at all. Hardly ever is he? Kobe wasn't very bad either tonight. He did cough one up. It led to a breakaway. Jeff Zachoff made a big save, so that, you know, that could have been 5-rip. I think Dwight. I don't want to bury him. I think Dwight may have put Kobe in a bad spot there. That's why Kobe coughed it up. But you know, Kobe can't be coughing things up at the top of the blue line there. Outshot 21-9 in that second period. 21-9. There's games the Kings don't give up 21 shots. But they give up 21 in one period. Yeah. Not a recipe for success. Shots were 10-4 after the first. Kings get outshot 21-9. 4-1 headed to the third period. Deflated building. I mean, you can hear a pin drop. That's to be expected, but you could really hear a pin drop in there. McNabb gave him some life, though, about 3:01 to the third period. McNabb gives you some life, and we scored early if you think maybe there's a shot here.
Now back to the right point. Kings in the Flyer zone. Left side, it goes down to McNabb. He shoots, scores! Tipped in front, and the Kings look like the Foley may have gotten his stick on it, and the Kings now down 4-2. Those offensive zone starts help you a lot. You get to start the zone, you get to control the puck. McNabb did a real good job here of hesitating. Watch when he gets the pass. All the way across. He'll take the look first. Decides he can't get all the way through. And he just kind of holds it back. It goes off the defensive stick. Looks like straight stick. He's got a backhand of 32 right there. And then he just kind of falls right over top. Kopitar is there, Toffoli is there, but I believe McNabb will get credit. And say, much like Dowdy's goal, McNabb had his head up. And he held up the back with just a second longer, just to kind of change things, get the lucky bounce. And the Kings out back with it too.
McNabb cuts it to 4-2. And as I said before, you think there's a chance. Ironically enough, this goal goes off of Mark Streit. So as I said before, you know, it kind of does X out the Mark Streit goal, that the kind of lucky goal that went off Jeff Zachoff's head. By the way, if you're listening live and you do have questions or comments, you can just call in at any time here at 602-753-1528. That's 602-753-1528. I'll be taking any and all callers if there is any. So there's a glimmer of hope there. It's 4-2. The Kings can do this. The Kings can score two goals. But that was it. That was it. That was it for the goal scoring for the night. Nothing else. You know, the Kings were pressuring. I think the Kings were on Philly in that third period, especially after that Brayden McNabb goal. Then Jordan Nolan takes they called it interference. It was a slashing penalty. Thanks, bro. Thanks. Thanks for not picking up your man on the Boyd Gordon goal. Now what are you going to do with your limited ice time? Now you're going to turn around and hack somebody right after we score a goal. Which begs the question why he's out there to begin with when we need freaking goals. I also have here in my notes, by the way, I missed this. When we went down 2-0, don't you think it's time to go a little top-heavy line-wise? Like, we need goals. We probably don't need Dustin Brown, Nick Shore, and Devin Setoguchi on the line. We probably don't need Dwight King getting 16 minutes. We probably don't need Clifford, Andrioff, and Nolan on the ice at all. We probably don't need, as much as I love Trevor Lewis, on a line with Teddy Purcell and Jeff Carter. Because if you put Teddy Purcell and Jeff Carter on a line, you're basically saying that's going to be one of our goal-scoring lines to go along with King, Kopitar, and Toffoli. Trevor Lewis isn't going to help you score goals. Like, yeah, he's tenacious on the forecheck, But maybe you want to put a Setoguchi on that line. Someone who can maybe score some goals to go along with Purcell and Jeff Carter. Look, okay, here's your top six, pretty much, with Gaborik and Pearson out. Right? Here we go. Kopitar, Jeff Carter, Teddy Purcell, Dustin Brown, Devin Setoguchi. That's it. I mean, like any, like those are the guys that need to be on the ice. Let's do this one more time. Alonzo Kopitar, Tyler Toffoli, Jeff Carter, Dustin Brown, Teddy Purcell, Devin Setoguchi. Any combo of those six guys. They need to be on the ice pretty much every other shift when you're down 2-0. We can't just we can't continue to have. I understand what he was trying to do, Sutter. I understand what he was trying to do by trying to like you know disperse the talent out throughout the four lines. But when you're down 2-0, you got to switch something up. You got to go a little bit top heavy, and you got to play your top guys because you need freaking goals now. But no, he didn't do that. Dwight King, 16 minutes. So Jordan Nolan takes that penalty. Flyers get a disallowed goal. It was goalie interference. They waved the goal off because it was goaltender interference, which I immediately wondered, if it's goaltender interference, is that not a penalty? I'm pretty sure by law, you cannot interfere with a goaltender. Maybe I'm missing something. Someone please smarten me up, because maybe I'm missing something. But I'm pretty sure goaltender interference is a freaking penalty. So I don't know why Wayne Simmonds didn't go to the box there. Strange to me. Also, there's another play late in the period. Not that it mattered. Jake Muzzin and Dale Weiss went off. Bro, isn't it one or the other? There's one infraction. That's the first. You get the first one. So whoever infracted the other guy first, that's the penalty. There's not two. Call the first one. Am I missing something? By the way, I'm not saying the refs called a bad game or anything. Just that's kind of those two things were a little bit confusing to me. Goaltender interference is a freaking penalty. Speaking of penalties and killing them, bro. Dwight does good things. Look, I want to put him over because that Drew Doughty screen, he was probably responsible for that. He has some good hands. He does some good things. Why is he killing penalties? Like, one of the biggest keys into killing penalties is as soon as they fumble the puck, as soon as they halfway lose it, you have to freaking jump on them. You have to jump on them. Dwight King's not jumping on anything, except maybe like a mechanical bull. That's probably the only thing. Why is he killing penalties? He can't get anywhere. He's going to kill you if he keeps killing penalties. Zatkoff makes a big save on a raffle and a breakaway. Mark Streit goes to the box with 9 minutes left. You think maybe if we get one here, makes it a one-goal game, then maybe we've got a shot. Good power play. We had a little. The puck movement was great. There was a high tip play. I thought maybe had a chance to go in. A lot of pressure. Just didn't happen to go in. It wasn't our night tonight. I mean, two periods maybe it was, but that second period totally 100% did us in. That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got for the notes tonight. Shitty. Got to get better. I think it will. Marian Gaborik, Tanner Pearson, I think they're going to step in and help right away. But Jesus, man, we got to do something. Can we please just put some skilled guys in the lineup while we're waiting for these two guys to come back? Can we please put some skill into the freaking lineup? So what I don't understand, okay, so you lose two skilled guys. So let's put in not skilled guys to replace those skilled guys. Does that make any sense? So we need to replace two skilled guys. So let's go Nick Shore, Andrioff, Nolan, Dwight, Clifford. I like Clifford. I'll never bury Kyle Clifford. I think Kyle Clifford would be great with better line mates. I don't think he's going to do much of anything with Andrioff and Nolan. Kempe, Dowd, Mersch. How about Kevin Gravel? Maybe Ledoux? Something like that. Skilled guys who can step in and provide some offense. Anyways, Kings fall 4-2 in the home opener. I'd say celebrate their 50-year anniversary. That's it, everybody. double duty tonight. Please, you know what? Pick Two Socks. The show that I did earlier was probably better than the game. So if you go to thewetisland.com, you go to YouTube, and just type in the Wet Island, or not the Wet Island, just type in Wet Island on YouTube. Go to my Twitter, at the Wet Island. Go on Facebook, LA Kings Wet Island. Go listen to Pick Two Socks. That's better than the game. I think that's probably a lot more entertaining. All right, everybody. That's it. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'll see you the next game. I might see you tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe I'll do a free... Hey, wait a second. How about let's end this shit on a positive note? The Los Angeles Dodgers are the NLCS. How about that? And that starts tomorrow. I'm excited for that. How about that for some positivity? Let's go freaking Dodgers, baby. How about that? All right. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please keep listening. Email thewetisland@yahoo.com if you have any feedback, negative or positive. I don't care. I just want it. It doesn't matter to me. Good night, everybody.